Shell, you ready?
Yep.
All right, good morning. I will call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, October 15th, 2013, and ask if everyone would please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, everybody. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. This opportunity for members of the public to comment on items that are on today's agenda. Is there anybody who would like to address the board this morning? Seeing no one moving immediately the microphone, we'll move on to other reports. And the first thing we have is a presentation for the Resource Recovery Plant. Gary and...
Ashley, it is Lori Hansen and Bill Schmidt, the Assistant Superintendent. Gary got caught up in another meeting this morning and asked us to present.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Okay.
Together, we reduce, reuse, and recycle in Story County using the Resource Recovery Plant. The agenda today, we'll be talking about our relationships, the rates and the budget, the services, current projects at Resource Recovery, the electric utility update, a summary of benefits, and then we'll have time at the end for some questions. The City of Ames and its partners, Story County, and all of the cities within Story County other than Collins and Sheldahl, have been working together for 39 years. And we're looking to the future of our waste handling. Our 2080 agreement with Story County and the other communities will expire on the 30th of June next year. Resource recovery rates compared to Iowa landfills. It used to be back in the day that we were the highest tipping fee in the state of Iowa, but as you can see now, we are very close to the middle. The highest tip fee in the state at this point in time is $110 a ton, and the lowest is about $20 a ton. Per capita fees are as high as $69.04, and the average is $8.31, so we're very close to that at $9.10. Our tipping fee at the current rate of $52.75 was set in 2002. Prior to that, it had been seeing ups and downs and ups and downs, and as anyone working with budgets knows, then that line item that is at a steady rate is much more preferable than jumping around and trying to fit it all together. So we've held it at $52.75 for all these years and continue to hold it at $52.75 just as long as we can. Per capita fees have ranged from the original fee of $5.57 to a high of $15 per residence in 1991, 92, and 93. We adopted our current rate in 2011, and we don't anticipate any change in that rate for the next fiscal year. Our $4.5 million budget comes from our revenue sources of tipping fees. That is our, of course, major meat. Refuse-derived fuel, that is the fuel that we sell to the power plant that came out of our garbage. Our per capita fees of $725,000. The ferrous metal that we sell, that we recover from the waste, and the non-ferrous metal that we recover from the waste, and also from the glass program now. We are seeing some revenue come in from that. We have no fee services offered to all of our customers, and that includes our new program for flag disposal. We had been seeing quite a few flags come in through the garbage, and that's just not proper. And so we set up a program with the American Legion to collect those flags. Folks can bring them in. We'll take care of them until we get them up to the Legion for proper disposal. Battery disposal or recycling, glass disposal or recycling, yard waste free days, sharps disposal, household hazardous materials drop-off, and fluorescent disposal recycling, and waste oil drop-off. Those are all no-fee services to our customers in Story County. Yes?
Fluorescent light bulbs and so forth like that, you're not recommending they go in the regular trash?
That's correct, because in each one of those bulbs, there's just a little bit of mercury vapor, which in and of itself is not that harmful. But if everybody dropped a light bulb at the same time and broke it, it would be a huge mercury release. So we want folks to just bring those into us rather than put them in the garbage. Yep. Any light bulbs, actually, we want you to bring in, just so we can keep that glass out. Okay. The projects that we are currently working on at Resource Recovery include an upgrade in our sprinkler system that is underway right now as we speak. We will be replacing our primary shredder, which we have had since the beginning of the plant, next month with a new
state-of-the-art
high-torque, low-speed grinder.
Huh.
So we can grind up more of the stuff that we have been previously sending to the landfill, keeping more of it for the fuel.
Okay.
And an alternative fuel study by both the power plant and the resource recovery plant to determine where our futures lie. The electric utility update. The power plant has replaced the lower 40-foot of boiler tubes, and that has resulted in less breakdowns of the number 8 boiler. Evaluation is underway to determine their long-term fuel strategy, and at council tonight, they will be proposing a change to natural gas rather than the coal-fired,
okay,
which would mean a potential reduction in RDF burn rates, where we would be needing to reduce the municipal solid waste by 15%.
Okay.
The benefits that the resource recovery plant provides to the citizens of Story County is that it is the only waste-to-energy facility in the state of Iowa, and we have been providing that service to the community for 39 years, 38, 39. We have the highest recycling and reuse rates in the entire state. Other communities are sitting right at about 34%. And we have been at 70% for Story County for 38 years. 70% reduction in landfill use because we're keeping 70% as fuel and as metals that we sell. That is not going into the landfill. We are also providing long-term groundwater and environmental protection. If we're not putting it in the earth, we're not endangering the earth. We offset fossil fuel usage at the power plant by 10%. We burn 90% coal, 10% RDF, and so that's 10% coal that they didn't have to dig out and purchase.
Taking that to 15% is one plant, right?
It goes from 10 to 15%. It varies.
Okay.
And we provide ongoing education and outreach opportunities for our partner communities. I love to talk trash. And so what we're saying here is the agreement expires June 30th, 2014. Our legal department has the current 2080 agreements in their office, and they'll be reviewing those for accuracy. After 20 years, maybe some things have changed, maybe not. Once we get a draft ready, we'll get it out to everybody, all of our partners, for your review. And then before June 30th, we'll get a final out for signature.
Outstanding. Thank you so much for being here today. We appreciate the work you do. It is really great to be reminded that in Story County we recycle 70%, and that's more than double the average in the state. And
that's
so
right.
We really appreciate the work you put in, and we'll look forward to seeing the new 2080.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Next item on our agenda is update of Story County quarterly financial report. The one and only Lisa Markley.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
We're a quarter away through the year. That's how we are.
A quarter of the way through the year, yes. I provided your quarterly financial report. No.
Oof.
As you just stated, we're at 25% of the year. I highlighted the budgets that are over the 25%. There are very few that are very far over, and there's reasons for the majority of them as to why they are. Overall, though, we are at 21.5% for expenditures, if you look at the bottom there. Our fund balances are looking not too bad, as far as I'm concerned.
Let's take a step back. Is there anything in the on the expenditure side, and you see a lot of things, you know, I guess the high is 29% used. Is there anything that jumps out at you that you say is concern, or is it just the way we're paying things at this point that would cause a few to be over?
Oh, it appears to me it's just the way we're paying things at this point in time that cause a few to be over.
Yep.
Engineer's office is typically over this quarter because of the construction projects that they're doing. So that's not unusual at all. And the rest of them are just cost of doing business, upfront costs for departments and things like that.
Good.
For the expenditures, we're at, of the general fund, we're at 22.9% of the year, or percent of expenditures for the year. So we're a little below where we would typically, you know, we would think we would be. So that means we had a little bit of fund balance sitting there. The supplemental fund is at 31%. That's typical because we pay insurance first thing in July. So that's a big chunk of that supplemental fund. The mental health fund is sitting there at 22%. That's way higher than it's been for years and years and years at this point. And the rural services fund is at 14%, and that's about where we hang usually.
How was our cash flow through the first quarter? Did we ever get close? Okay.
Well, I take that back. The supplemental fund did have me a little concerned at the end of August, but we made it.
Then with that, okay.
The revenues started coming in pretty good. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I looked and I think we had 47% of our property taxes received at the end of September, which is good. That means that there's only 3 or 4% sitting out there probably of the half that we expect to receive.
Well, I know in visiting with the Treasurer Tweet, she's got a substantial amount of assets put in the bank right now that's come in from the property tax collection. Okay, revenues.
Revenues. There are a few departments that are exceeding the 25% there also. Veterans Affairs is one of those that they get their $10,000 the first quarter, like in July, right away from the state. So that one always looks high.
And we've got additional revenue coming in there from Boone as well, right? Have we
Correct.
Seen any of that?
Correct. Yeah, there's about, well, the 859 that we've brought in, 859 of that's revenue from Boone.
Yep.
Overall, we're at 35% of our revenues, which is good. I think pretty pleased about that. We did obviously amend the budget, and I showed the amendment in there. There were grants, revenues, those types of things that mainly conservation was not anticipating. So a couple of things for you to think about, talk about, ask, or tell me what to do. When are we going to do an additional appropriation? We've appropriated 50% of the dollars to the departments. Typically in November, I'll need to start thinking about the next appropriation, and November's coming really fast.
Last couple of years,
was it November, December that we made that determination? So I guess
I like to do it before the end of November, if at all possible.
Okay. Well, basically, if you can, look at the figures and see where we are, and then just come back with a recommendation like you've done in years past, then I think we can act on that.
Yeah. Do you want the additional 50, or do you want to go with what we've done typically in the last?
I think we'd leave 5% like we did in the past, unless you guys are concerned.
My preference would
that.
Be to leave the 5%, but I think what we've gone round and round about the last couple of years is for other elected officials, we need to go ahead and appropriate the full 50%. So I'd just soon go ahead and take care of that. But then
that
for all departments,
for thank you very okay.
absolutely.
Appreciate
then for all departments, just appropriate the additional 45%. Let's hold 5% back and see where we are late in the year.
Okay. So that resolution will come to you later in November, most likely.
Okay. Sounds good.
And then just a couple things about what's going on with us. The state auditors did finish up their field work yesterday. So I am of the impression it went really well. I didn't have any questions that I couldn't handle or couldn't answer. Not sure overall when we'll have an audit report. The exit interview with the chair of the board and Lucy and myself, will be scheduled for sometime in the next couple weeks, most likely. They'll come back up and do the exit. So, FYI, the audit is well on its way to being completed, we hope.
Outstanding. Thank you. And while you're sitting there, just really quickly to bring these two up to speed, yesterday a small group of us, including Lisa Markley, got together and we're really trying to push to the end of what's going to happen with the funding of CLP for FY15 and beyond. As you'll recall, Wayne, you're chair of the region, as of June 30 of 14, we've got to have all supplemental, we've got to have all mental health dollars flowing through that region and cannot come back to supplement any county-run program, which CLP is. You guys just need to be aware that there are conversations going on right now to bring proposals to this group. Lisa, I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that.
No. I think that my biggest push on this is that when we're putting a budget together, we have to certify a budget in March, and in that budget we certify the levies, and you can't raise those after you've certified them. So before we certify levies, we need to have a true picture of where the funding is going to sit and stuff like that. So I'm the one probably that's pushing that. I mentioned
to Lisa right before you came in that I had the opportunity to sit down with Deb yesterday, and she kind of briefed me on the discussion, and then I plan to do a follow-up. I felt very good about the discussion that she shared, and I will follow up with Ron to try to just get his perspective, since those are the two contacts that I have, the liaison in the mental health area. But again, I told him that I thought that the timing was right for us to really begin to nail down, you know, a lot of questions about, you know, what the current situation is, what role the regions could play, if any, and what direction we may need to take in the future. So I think she was certainly felt good about the meeting.
It was good meeting, Wayne, and what I've asked for as chair of the board is that group continue to meet, continue to explore all possible options, and be ready to come before us in a public meeting in the middle of December and present those options so we can start to digest them. And, you know, we may end up in a situation where there just aren't great options, but we're going to have to pick something so that we can set our budget.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Thanks. Any questions for Lisa, Paul, before?
No.
Next is consideration of minutes from the October 8th meeting.
Move approval.
I will second the motion.
Motion and a second. Any further conversation or corrections? Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Minutes pass. Next is consideration of personnel actions. We have all actions accounted for.
Move approval. I submit it.
Second.
A motion and a second. Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel actions pass. Next item is consent agenda. We did add road closure 1416, utility permit 1416, and 1417.
Can we pull item number 7 just real quick and have Margaret come up and go over it so there's no questions?
Okay. Item number 7, which is the waiver allowing Lincoln Feeders to go ahead and begin construction. Margaret, appreciate your work on this. Appreciate you pulling all this out for us.
Sure. Let's see. We had a request from Lincoln Feeders, and DNR had a request that they go ahead and start construction right away. And in order to do that, they had to get a waiver.
I'm sorry. Can you hang on 1 second, Margaret? Do I have a motion to approve consent agenda with the noted item?
So move.
Second. Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda with item 7 pulled passes. Now, Margaret.
Sorry.
No, it's my
Jumped
fault.
Jumped the gun. Yep. Okay, so to refresh your memory, Lincoln Feeders, we did the master matrix, and you all approved it. That was back in September. Lincoln Feeders wants to get going, kind of beat the snow on construction, so they requested that we sign a waiver of the 14-day appeal process. And so that is what is on the consent agenda that you just moved off. And so I recommend that you pass this.
So if this board decided to request a hearing, we could do so through the DNR. But we...
If you don't sign the waiver.
If you don't sign the waiver. But since we unanimously approved the recommendation to the DNR to approve the permit, this would just be a formality that we would waive our right to the 14-day.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it would be if we had questions, if there were issues where our numbers didn't agree with their numbers, but DNR was still accepting their numbers and we wanted to continue to explore this would be our mechanism. Since we're all in agreement here, Margaret, do you see any need? I mean, clearly you're recommending we pass this.
Right.
It's just a weather issue, and really if they can get this done and then get their manure on the ground before the ground freezes, I think it just makes
better
sense
for everybody
to pass.
I would move approval of item number 7.
Second.
Motion of second. Any further discussion? Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Item 7, consider resolution 1438 passes. Margaret, thank you.
Thank you, Margaret.
All right, public hearing items, consideration of resolution number 1430, amending the urban renewal plan, Story County Urban Renewal Area, Leanne Harder. Hi, Leanne.
Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning. Give me 1 minute to bring this up, please.
Okay,
I'm going to go through a few slides and try and take these next two items, the background information to begin with, but they are two separate items. There is a method to the madness, and the first resolution is taking action on the urban renewal plan, that is defining the properties and the projects that Story County would consider funding. The second item, the ordinance, is amending the Code of Ordinances of Story County, and that is to amend Chapter 8, Urban Renewal, and that is adding the properties to the wind turbines. So I have a few background slides, as I said, but then I'll walk through resolution, the discussion on Resolution 1430, very similar to as I did a few weeks ago when you directed me to make changes and set forth a process. If any time during the process you have questions, please stop me and let me know. Just some quick background. Again, as you'll recall, we received 9 applications by the August 1st deadline that the board set. We did receive official notice withdrawing 1 application, that is from the City of Cambridge. With a time frame, we had already published, sent notice that this was coming forward, so you'll see in the draft that was placed on your agenda for today, that particular project is just stricken, but still is in the verbiage. You received presentations from the applicants in September and then gave me direction and staff direction on September 24th to really start the rest of the formal process in motion. Consultation meeting originally scheduled for October 4th was rescheduled to October 3rd, and that was held in this room. Process, really just a snapshot, receive applications, review materials, direct staff to compile draft amendments, do the proper notifications. We're at that third line, we're really at board action. And as I said at the beginning, there are 2 separate items. The first is amending the urban renewal plan through action through approval of resolution number 14-30, and then amending the urban renewal chapter of the Code of Ordinances. And then after that, directing staff to bring forward second considerations and other steps that I'll talk about shortly. So getting right to consideration of resolution number 14-30, this is following the requirements of Chapter 403 of the Code of Iowa, where the Urban Renewal Plan defines those projects that are proposed to be undertaken within the urban renewal area. These 2 things are then defined in our urban renewal plan. If amended according to the Code of Iowa, Chapter 403, the same process that is set forth for adopting a new plan is followed, excluding going to the Planning and Zoning Commission. And we have followed that process as defined. I'm going to just go through section by section of the proposed urban renewal plan. And so this second this slide does show the second section, property being included in the urban renewal area. I guess I'm going to defer to you. Do you want to go section by section to discuss them, or do you want me to go through the entire presentation and then come back section by section?
I want you to go through the entire presentation, and then we'll come back.
Okay. This particular, we are adding an item number four, and that is adding six new wind turbine parcel numbers. The resolution, the draft plan, and the ordinance that was placed on the agenda for you today did have one of the parcels incorrectly listed. The ones that were presented to you this morning does correct that. Also reordering exhibits A and B. Next section is adding the properties and the projects in the urban renewal to the section property to be included in the urban renewal area is adding the projects. Again, as I said, this still has item number four, the City of Cambridge, but stricken, just for the sake of being consistent with how it's been presented in the past. But the projects, the other remaining projects that were presented to the board and received by prior to August 1st are here listed. The next is, again, reiterating that in the plan as a separate section, as additional projects, just a formatting of the plan. Item number six is the tax increment financing procedures. This is clarifying that the amendments approved October 2013, the debt will be incurred and certified by December 1st, 2013, and establishing the base value of those properties as of January 1st, 2012. The first sentence of that paragraph reflected the initial projects of the urban renewal plan and were urban renewal areas. We had to add this new sentence to clarify it. Going to Section 8, the county financial information, two charts, correcting the first chart to make sure that proposed and to be incurred, to be in that bottom line, a proposed TIF debt to be incurred. You've already incurred that with that first round of projects. So it's no longer proposed. And then adding the second chart, which is current figures. I do want to say the proposed TIF debt to be incurred, the $360,000, it was originally $380,000, including Cambridge. That is if you were to finance all the projects. So depending on your action today, this number would be adjusted accordingly if projects are removed. And then going on to Exhibit B, which is actually going to propose to be renamed Exhibit A, clarifying that first part of the table, the original parcel numbers for the bigger wind farm properties, and then adding the additional properties for this amendment, clarifying the parcel numbers too, making sure that that is consistent. I do want to thank Stacy Herridge for pointing out that inconsistency, and we did correct that. And then changing Exhibit A to actually Exhibit B, and that is replacing the urban renewal plan map with one that is more readily amended, too. And the map that's in the plan right now does not include Cambridge. So with that, your alternatives are to approve resolution number 14-30, and that does amend the urban renewal plan, Story County Urban Renewal Area. You may approve it with amending it, but with modifications today. So amendments you make today as you work through this, you may lastly deny it. And one thing I do want, depending on the projects that are added, there is a step beyond this, beyond the ordinance considerations too. We have a limit in the current TIF fund, and if you were to go above and beyond that with funding projects, we would have to hold a public, or you would have to hold a public hearing to enter into a tax increment revenue loan agreement. So when we get to the actual action on the ordinance, staff will seek some direction if that is then indeed the direction we need to go in. And with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Lynn, I may be slightly confused a little bit, but would the action that we're looking at, the 360 that is listed here, includes all the projects with the exception of the total amount that was requested? Am I correct with the exception of Cambridge being taken out?
Right. Cambridge has been removed.
And so depending upon what we would – my question is, would we be basically saying that we favor moving forward with all the projects submitted –
at this point, or if we had questions about whether we wanted to reduce part of the dollar amount. And the only reason I'm this is more for clarification. It's not that this is what I want, but I want to understand what it is we're doing. And the reason for that was is if during the deliberation and the presentations, you asked some very good questions about if this was not fully funded, whether or not they had the means to carry through some of those projects. And so I don't know if that factors in any of our overall decisions. And then the other question would be is if we approve this at that 360, that doesn't necessarily mean that we will spend all of that 360. Is that correct or not?
Let me begin with the first part of the question. And I think it is a very fair question. It is, there is no way, this is very confusing, especially when we're adding projects and we're adding properties and we're amending the code of ordinances. I mean, and then tack in following all the approval procedures too. It does get very cumbersome to work through. That's why I worded the second alternative to say the approving the plan as you amend it today. Getting to your first part of the question, because this list, going back, of additional projects, by no means have you said in the direction you gave to staff to develop the plan amendments and start the process that you are committed to funding these.
Right.
It was to really get the discussion started. So today what you would need to do is have that candid discussion on each of these projects and decide, yes, we want to fund the project, we are not interested in funding the project, or we want to fund it partially, fully, whatever means. Getting back to your second question on that $360,000, I don't think you want to, and Jessica, Bain, if you want to correct or jump in here too, I think you want that proposed TIF debt to be incurred to match up the amounts of the projects. That there's a correlation between the two. That one is not substantially higher than the other.
My suggestion would be that you have your proposed TIF debt to be incurred be the maximum possible.
Okay.
And that way you can incur up to that amount. And if you decide not to, that's fine. You still have given yourself that leeway. And then when we go out, if you have to borrow or whatever, however we're going to get the money, we have approved up to that highest amount. So to me, it makes sense that you would approve it at the $360,000 because then you have given yourself up to that amount.
Mm. Okay.
Leanne, so that I'm clear, this is our final opportunity to determine what we're doing with these projects. All right, I'll jump in. I've got problems with the fire station in Collins because I'm not sure it meets what the state deems is appropriate use of TIF funds. I've got a problem with the work in Colo because I don't like the idea of using TIF funds to do the engineering work on a project rather than utilizing the funds to actually do a project. And I've got a problem with the Huxley proposal because I think that is more of a maintenance issue and not an economic development issue, which is where I think these TIF funds should go. I really wrestled long and hard with the McCallsburg water lines, but for me it has risen to the level of impacting values in that community, and it's a way that I believe it's appropriate to help the community. I've got no problem at all with Roland, their proposal, Ziering's proposal, Colonesco School District's proposal, or Collins' proposal that includes the wellness center. I struggle with the fire station simply because I think the state has clearly said we don't want to use TIF funds for fire stations. So that's where I come down as having issues of the projects that have been proposed to us.
And I guess my question, I didn't follow the state code
clearly enough, but you've had a chance to take a look at that in relation to the fire station. You feel very comfortable that that language is fairly
well,
clear.
Well, it's not fairly clear, Wayne. I don't want you to take that what I'm telling you, you should not view it as absolute. I'm telling you my feeling. I think that clearly the state legislature is looking closely at TIF and the way local entities use TIF. And one of the red flags that seems to be coming up in what they're doing is when these funds are used for something like a fire station, that it brings up red flags. And I think the last thing we need to do in our first bite of the apple is throw up a bunch of red flags at the state.
Okay, now let me just ask the question. Is it because of what the fire station does and the fact that usually there's local funds that is usually goes towards that a municipality would be expected to
expend? I think it's completely using TIF funds, which are supposed to be for economic development, for a fire station. I mean, you can draw the line and say, yeah, having a good fire station is important for economic development, but I don't believe the state looks at that as an appropriate use of these kind of funds. And like I say, what I believe what we're trying to do here is clearly we're trying to reach in and help some of our smaller communities with the issues they have. But the last thing we want to do, Wayne, is get sideways with the state on the way TIF is used.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you. I guess all I'm trying to do is get some clarification. Let's say that this was not a fire station, and let's say it was a refurbation of another business entity or something in that particular area. My question is, it because fire stations in itself should be something that I think is based on the individual local tax base to provide that service. And the economic development component, while it would be valuable, obviously, to any residency, there could be additional funding generated other than the TIF funds that we are talking about appropriating, basically.
I think that's exactly right. That's exactly the way I'm seeing it, and that's my concern.
The other question, and this is maybe cannot be answered now, but I'm not uncomfortable with that, but I don't know if I have enough information to say that I'm 100% in agreement. My question is could that portion be deferred so that I have an opportunity to further to understand that part?
Absolutely.
Without us hampering any of the other things that we're basically doing or talking about.
Well, let's ask Leanne and Jessica.
Then, Jessica.
Curious how far we can defer action on this or parts of this without it completely disrupting our timeline and the ultimate December 1st deadline that we have.
Well, I think the way that Ms. Harder has written it is really helpful for the board because basically this doesn't commit you to the projects. It just says these are the projects that could be undertaken.
Right.
So to me, there doesn't need to be a determination today. But I think because you're listing these are the potential projects,
right,
you're going to incur the maximum amount of TIF debt at the $360,000 that would allow you to, if you want to fund all these projects, do so. So that will allow us to get the paperwork in order, and then you're going to have to decide which ones you're going to fund before you actually.
And so where does that decision point come? Because that's where I was confused. I have, for some reason, Leanne, I had October 29th as the deadline in my mind of making the decision, and I thought today was the day we were going to start the conversation, and I was going to be able to say to Wayne and Paul here, these are the ones I'm concerned about. These are the ones I want us to dig into. But I didn't think we were making a decision today. And that would be my preference. My preference would be for all three of us to be able to say, hey, we've listened to the presentations. Here's where we're coming down, but not take action today. So maybe walk us through that. While they're talking, is there any other that pop up to you guys?
When you talked about and I'm probably there with you on most of these, but if you want to talk about the concerns you have with the fire station in Collins, then I don't know that the building that the city wants to rehab as City Hall and Roland could be too far behind that.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of where I'm a little caught, because I go back and I'm reading this one section, and it says, you know, they're talking about the termite infestation. It's no longer structurally sound. They're trying to replace the facility. They wanted to build a new one there. And then they go on to talk about that they are, you know, trying to find other sources of revenue, either through grants, donation, and other fundraising options. And so I'm seeing this as there's money available through the TIF if it qualifies as a economic development opportunity. And so I'm just struggling with how would I separate the refurbishing of this building or building a new building versus the one in Roland. And the only difference is one's a fire station, one is not. You know, and so I guess without understanding the intent of the legislation of TIT and whether fire stations should not be looked into that, and you may be absolutely correct. I just never heard that, and so I'm just a little I don't want to rule out any of the projects basically here. I think all of them that came to us had sound merit and reasons why they wanted to consider it. My problem basically is are we comfortable with the exact amount that they have asked for, more than anything, rather than saying that we could appropriate a part of that amount? You know, and then you still continue to look for other sources of funding. You know, that's why something like the Story City and the fire station, I could see a portion of those dollars if it qualifies. But
I really appreciate where you are. I just want to be really, really clear. I believe that by the letter of the law, all of this qualifies. I think we have the authority as a board of supervisors to determine that all of these qualify. All I'm offering to you is the areas that I'm concerned, and for me, Paul, it is as simple as there has been movement in the State House that using TIF for fire stations is frowned on. It doesn't say it anywhere. There's been a move there. While there has not been a move toward what they consider Main Street revitalization, which would include taking down a building and putting up a new city hall, is not frowned on. And I can't get into the specifics. I'm just telling you that for me, it appears that you're walking a fine line there, and it's one of the reasons that I'm concerned about it. I am much more comfortable, though, Wayne, if today is the beginning of our conversation and we have an opportunity to dig in a little further and get this done.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that is going to work fine, and here's why. The document that you're looking at approving as far as the urban renewal plan, and the urban which specifies our urban renewal area, is going to add the properties that Ms. Harder has listed. Mm-hmm. And then it is going to have this Section 5 that talks about these are the projects that we could approve.
Could approve.
Okay. And so that's what you're committing to in your document. And so you haven't specified the projects yet, which is fine. And then we're going to list the total amount of proposed TIF debt, which will include all the projects.
Mm-hmm.
So when we list when we finalize the TIF debt, that's when we're finally approving a project or not approving a project.
Exactly, because you have to decide how much, you know, when we get down to the dollars and cents, that's when we're going to need to know. But you've allowed yourself in your plan that you're amending the room to approve all the projects if you decide to.
And to answer your question, this does have to be acted on today.
Okay.
And there is another step that would go beyond this. And that would be once that debt is incurred, whether it be loan, whatever mechanism to incur that debt, you would, as an entity, officially award the funding to the whatever jurisdiction it may be. But today is the deadline to so that If you
this is to get everything on the list for us to consider. We can't put anything new on the list to consider.
But you can take off.
But we can still take off.
Correct.
I'm completely comfortable with that. And I think it's appropriate if we go ahead today and spend a minute or two talking about our concerns so that we can all individually go back and research it some more and come back and have more detailed conversation. We may get into a situation where two of us think that something's appropriately funded and one doesn't, in which case we'll move ahead with it.
I believe Jessica's explanation gives me the comfort level that I was looking for at this point in time.
All right. Do we need any further conversation before we open the public hearing? Hopefully we have sufficiently confused the public enough that... All right. So we will now open the public hearing for discussion of Resolution 1430 and ask if there's anyone who would like to address the board on Resolution 1430. Seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll close the public hearing, and I'll turn to the board for consideration.
Go ahead, Wayne.
Well, I'm not really quite sure what the consideration is.
That's
obviously, what the intent is we're going to, for now, we're going to approve all of the projects that's been submitted for consideration. We're not actually making the final dollar designation as to what the dollar amount will be, but we will incur the debt to the maximum as submitted.
Correct. So today you're approving adding those additional wind turbines,
right,
which we have to do to our
right
urban renewal area. Then you are stating that you could approve the following projects without committing yourself to approving them, but you've listed everything that we have, everything that you could potentially incur debt or pay for with TIF funds, which we have to do. So you're approving that entire list, and then you're approving the proposed TIF debt for the maximum amount if you approved all the projects, because that gives you the leniency to either approve all the projects or not. If you approve all the projects, you have notified the public of the possible maximum debt to be incurred by the county, which is our obligation under the code.
And we can still reduce this. We just can't increase it from today forward if this passes.
Correct. So we always want to approve the maximum amount of TIF debt to be incurred, because then we're able to incur up to that amount legally.
Yep. So that being said, we should probably make a motion to approve under the first alternative, approving Resolution 1430 to amend the plan.
As presented.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right.
I will make that motion.
Yep. Second.
Further discussion.
I think the discussion has been had.
It has. I think you're right. Always want to give you an opportunity, though, Wayne. Two.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. 1430 passes. And Leanne, will you please make sure that we've got an opportunity on our agenda next week to get further into the conversation of what our concerns are? This gives us each an opportunity individually to go back and really dig in and come forward. Okay? Next is ordinance two, still in public hearings, is ordinance 223, first consideration. Leanne?
I hope this one is a little bit more straightforward. This is amending the Code of Ordinances, specifically Chapter 8, Urban Renewal. It is adding the 6 wind turbines to the list of properties that are included in our Code of Ordinances, Chapter 8. The process to amend the Code of Ordinances is defined in Section 1.11.3. I won't repeat that. It is on the slide, but it does say that any amendments to the Code of Ordinances follow the process as set forth in the approval process for proposed new ordinances or amending or for adopting the Code of Ordinances, which is this next slide. We have followed all this with the process. This is your first of 3 considerations, which the final would be the 29th. And so your alternatives are up there on the agenda or on the screen.
Questions for Leanne before we open the public hearing?
Nope. I think we've already.
All right. In that case, we will go ahead and open the public hearing and ask if there is anyone wishing to speak to our first consideration of Ordinance 223, amending Chapter 8 of our Urban Renewal code for Story County. Anybody? Seeing no one moving, I will close public hearing and turn to the board.
Okay, it would appear that option one, the approval of ordinance number 223, amending it, may not necessarily be there because we're actually adding and amending those extra ones. Is that correct?
There was a scrivener's error, I believe, in the initial resolution. It just had one number off. Is that right? On the parcel number. So I believe Ms. Harder's request would be that you, the second option, would approve the ordinance with the changes due to a scrivener's error. Okay.
So I would move option two, the approval of ordinance number 222, amending Chapter 8 Urban Renewal Ordinance, notifying the change of the parcel number.
I'll second that. We have a motion and a second to approve the updated, corrected ordinance 223. Further discussion? Clinton?
Aye.
Aye. Sanders? Aye. Ordinance 223 passes on first consideration. Do we need to set second consideration?
Yes, yep. Next Tuesday.
You want to make that motion?
So move.
Second.
We got a motion and a second to set second consideration of ordinance 223 for next Tuesday. Clinton?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Thanks, Leanne. Anything else with you?
I just want to go back to the slide. I do request that you direct staff to start the proper procedures to set the public hearing for entering in tax increment revenue loan agreement.
Understood.
So directed.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
We are now... Boy, we made it through public hearing items. We're now to additional items. Consideration of receiving initial bargaining proposals from PPME Local 2003 pursuant to Iowa Code Chapter 20.17. Welcome.
Good morning.
And are you Mark?
Yes.
Mark, welcome. Glad you're here.
I guess my purpose here this morning is just to submit the union's initial bargaining proposal for the Story County Roads Sheriff deputies and command staff at the Sheriff's Department. I guess basically this is just a routine procedure. Mm-hmm. So would you like to receive these?
I will. Yep. So I am, for the record, I am receiving the proposal, and then my understanding is that we will be getting on the agenda for the 29th to submit the county's response. So.
Outstanding. Do we need to have a motion to receive?
Yes.
Yes, we do. So move. Move the receipt of the bargaining agreement from local PPME Local 2003.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Clinton?
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. It is received. Mark, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Next item is consideration of Resolution 1431, final subdivision plat of Bella Woods Subdivision, located on certain lands under the ownership of the Bella Woods LLC, located in Section 20 of Franklin Township. Charlie, we haven't seen you in a while. How are you doing?
How you been? Taking a vacation?
It's coming up here.
Hardly.
I don't ever vacation. And I'm assuming the board has the memo in front of them that I had submitted last week. Real quick, I just kind of want to go over the nine conditions that were listed on there from the preliminary plat. If you look through items 1 through 4, I'll just sum that up, and those have all been taken care of through various changes in the plats and other items we've received. Looking at item number 5 concerning the covenants, those were submitted to us. We did have a few suggestions that we listed back to the developer and the applicant, and those changes have been made for the most part. We just wanted to touch on the covenant issue, that covenants are a civil matter. Covenants are not enforced by the county, but again, we just try to make some suggestions to make sure there isn't going to be too many conflicts with the covenants. Number 8's also been complied with, too. That was meeting the open space requirements, and they did add an outlot on the subdivision plat towards the edge of Cameron School Road there to comply with that. Number 6, 7, and 9, when we approved those conditions, it was kind of intended to have a development agreement submitted with this plat to kind of go with those conditions. If you recall with the Oak subdivision, for example, we did the final plat right after the preliminary plat. They also submitted a development agreement along with that they were going to get all the improvements in to county standards. With Bella Woods, what they did actually is they put the improvements in first before coming through the final plat process there, so not needing a development agreement. So those conditions that we kind of intended to be part of the development agreement, since they put the improvements in first, we don't need a development agreement. But I'll go through those real quick too, and just note that item number six kind of dealt with erosion control and septic systems. I think Darren Moon mentioned in his presentation last week that we had gone out there and kind of looked at the improvements that were put in. Darren did note some erosion control measures that could possibly be taken in addition to what was already out there. We were out on the site last Friday, and I did note, and I have a few pictures here that I'll show you, but we did note that those improvements had been made to the erosion control. As far as the septic systems, in talking with Margaret Janes on that, before any septic permits are actually issued on the site, they're going to need a soil analysis done by a professional engineer. So that'll kind of work itself out through the process there. The drain tile issue, looking through the construction plans that were submitted prior to this approval here, that drain tile issue was listed on the construction plans, and in all indications that's been taken care of. So number seven will be good as well. The last one is the six-foot-high fence that must be placed between the common property line between the Stallman property, which is the property directly to the east, and this development. That hasn't been done yet, and just in talking with the applicant, I think the intention's still there to do it if the property owner wants it done. However, it has been noted that that property, Kathy Stallman's property, is for sale right now, so we're not sure, you know, if she's intending on moving out of there and if the new owner would want that or not either, but that's kind of what needs to be discussed, is do we want that done still? Is that going to be an approval or a condition on the final plat here? That's kind of up to the board at that point and how we want to handle that, because this
being a Stallman keeps some livestock, right? She's got goats. And
yeah. And, you know, I've got a few pictures here, and I'm not, you know, trying to sway persuade you either way, but there is kind of a natural barrier between that we didn't notice prior to the first presentation. Let me see if I can.
When you say natural barrier, what do you mean that would prevent the goats from coming into
that
area?
There's a tree line.
If it's not a fence, how?
I mean. Yeah, and it's not. And again, I'll just kind of show you here in a little bit. But let me go through these few pictures here. This is from Cameron School Road, just kind of going into the site now with the new road that's put in there. This here is the pond that was on the west side of the property. You can just kind of see how that really hasn't changed too much. They've removed some of the vegetation on the edge and whatnot. Just continuing to go through some of the pictures here, this going up. You can kind of see here where they have some of the storm drains put in there, some of the erosion control measures you can see right in here as well with the landscaping socks. See the utilities being put in place there. Again, some of the just erosion control measures that are placed throughout there. I want to note here too that when we were out there last Friday, we did note that there's a few foundations being put in here, which is probably a little bit premature with our ordinance, but through the permitting process, we'll work that out with the applicant and any fines that need to be paid for that. The existing house there, you can kind of see how that jives in with the new road there. So the Stallman property, if you can kind of see back here, it's you can almost see where that fence line is right in there. You've got the pond there, and then kind of zoomed in, this is kind of what I was talking about, the natural barrier. You've got that kind of fixed tree line between the property there that's put in place, or that was in place, I should say. So, and again, just kind of going through some of these last few. But yeah, the fence issue, that was the only thing that we noted that hadn't been completed yet. You know, typically through the platting process, we're mainly looking to see, you know, if all our platting requirements are met. And obviously through the preliminary plat, we were hoping to have that as part of the development agreement that was submitted. And again, sans this development agreement, how we go forward and if we do want that fence there still.
I'm struggling with if that's any of our business. I can see where maybe a property owner on, maybe Ms. Stallman wants a privacy fence to separate this new neighborhood. I can sure see where whoever's buying the property that backs up to Ms. Stallman's may want a privacy fence in order to block out the goat noise or whatever else you might get coming across there. I'm not sure how that's a county issue. Can you help me with that, Charlie? Is there precedent there that this is somehow a county issue?
Kind of one of the things that we discussed is typically we have the power to impose conditions on a vast majority of our projects, rezonings, conditional use permits, and all that.
Sure.
With the AMZ Free Church, for example, there is a fence between the Stallman property and the church because that was a condition of approval the Board of Adjustment put on there, and I think they have the right to do that. And again, the condition of approval here was part of the development agreement to include that fence. We don't have that development agreement now. How can we – I'm not sure we can put that fence in there. I'm not sure how we can enforce that particular regulation. So I would kind of agree with you. I'm not sure if we want to get into that, but, you know, past presidents would state that we have gotten into that, with especially with AMZ Free Church.
Well, you said the Board of Adjustment got into it.
Board of Adjustment, not the Board of Supervisors.
This is not the Board of Adjustment who put
this –
yeah. Right, but this would be the county supervisors that would be saying 6-foot high fence. I don't think we've done that.
My question would be, is if I bought the property, then it would be my responsibility to put the fence up?
Yeah, and that's, you know, if we did want to go down the route of requiring the fence, I think if you look at the plat.
Well, it's not a question of requiring it. My question would be, is it would be a preference. Like, for example, you know, where my house is right now, the neighbors got a fence on both sides. At one time, there wasn't a fence there.
Yeah.
But when we started having kids growing up in the neighborhood, they wanted to have a way to kind of confine them. And so it was a property owner that basically had to put up the fence.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak for Ms. Stallman, but I have had a couple, 3 phone conversations with her. And I'm guessing she probably feels like she's being squeezed out. I mean, she had an acreage there at one point that I know her parents, that's where she grew up. I think that's where she wanted to raise her goats. And then the E-Free Church came in on the east, and the majority of the conversations I've had with her are the complaints about the noise on the weekend from the activities out there. And now she's got a subdivision that's gone in on the west side of her.
Surrounded now.
And now she's an island. And I think that's why the property's for sale. And,
yeah.
But like you said, Rick, I don't know that that's the Board of Supervisors' purview to require that the developer put in a fence. I mean, she's got some property on the west side of where the actual residence is, and I mean, it's not like it's right up against her backyard.
And going back to the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting that we had back in, I believe, April, Ms. Stallman's main concern, I think, was with the fact that this development could have a, you know, vast number of children in there, and that she didn't want there to be any conflict between the children and her animals, which is probably a legitimate concern on her end. I'm not going to doubt that. And I know with talking with the developer when we were on site, it does sound like there are going to be quite a few children living out here. So, yeah, again, that's where her concern was. But, yeah, I guess my question is at what point does the county get involved in that matter? I don't know.
Well, yeah, for me, I don't want kids and goats together. And I want to support Ms. Stallman, you know, living the life that she wants to live on her property. But the reality of the situation is, even 10 years ago, you didn't have E-Free Church. You didn't have plans for something like Bella Woods coming in there. Now we do. It's the reality of the situation. And I think probably a privacy fence is a good idea. I just don't think it's our business. I think that is – I think my understanding is the developers have sold all the lots out there. I don't know what they represented to the people buying these lots, whether there would in fact be a 6-foot fence. That's between them and who bought the lots. If Ms. Stallman wants a 6-foot fence, that's between her and the developer, or ultimately her and the owner of these lots. I just don't – I don't see where the county needs to be inserting itself into matters like this.
And just looking at the plat, the one thing I did want to note out is the main lot this is going to be affecting is the outlot X, which is where the larger pond, the stormwater pond, is there. And then lot 13, which really only about the southern half of lot 13 abuts Stallman's property. So, be you know, if we required it to be placed between Stallman's property and this development, you'd have a six-foot-high fence running halfway down the backside of lot 13, which
wouldn't be the full perimeter of the property.
And the developer and the applicant are in the audience today, so if there's any questions.
You guys like to address us, like to talk to us. Come up to the microphone and introduce yourself, please. And maybe this is much ado about nothing. I'm just not comfortable with
that. Oh, I appreciate
it. Real quick, let me add one more thing, too, because you were mentioning about the no plans for residential development on this particular property. This property has been zoned residential since 1976. So it's been zoned for residential use for a very long time. It's just that there has been some plans that have come out in the past. They just never came to fruition for various reasons, and this is the first time we've actually gotten to this point.
Absolutely, and it looks to me like it's going to be a great development, and we're appreciative. Please introduce yourself.
Chris Gardner, Bella Homes, Bella Woods. On the fence, it was part of the conditions to get approved, and we agreed to that. And if that's what needs to be done, ultimately we'll do it. We'll do what you guys tell us to do, and my opinion is that I don't think it needs to be there because there actually is a fence already there. Kathy has a fence that keeps her goats in, and so it'd be another fence. It'd be an additional fence that just seemed maybe redundant or maybe not necessary. But ultimately, I'll do what you guys asked me to do. I'm not gonna, you know, the one thing I did. Thought as a maybe a compromise, since she is selling it, maybe put 6 months on it, and if in 6 months from now Kathy has not sold and she wants to stay there and she wants me to put it in, then I'll go ahead and do it then. But it just seemed like maybe since she is trying to sell and not be there, then
Chris, people that bought the lots from you that back up to that, are they expecting a fence there? Have you talked with them about it at all?
They know it's a condition. They knew about it, absolutely. And ultimately he was okay with it. What he did not want it, he didn't prefer it. He didn't think that it was necessary at all, but ultimately if that's what needs to be done, kind of what I'm saying, if it needs to be done, we'll do it. But personally don't think it needs to be done.
Personally, I appreciate your willingness to state it in that manner, but I guess it really comes back to the bigger question that Rick just asked earlier, and Paul, is whether or not really we should be requiring this as a condition of approval. And, you know, I just knowing my own personal thoughts about buying property and so forth, that if I wanted a fence around my property, I'd put one up. But I don't know if you were maybe having, if this was a safety and health risk, my concern would be probably more toward the distance to the pond and kids being able to maybe get right over into that, but a six-foot fence is not going to deter anybody from getting over the fence in the pond. So I don't know. That's where I'm not saying I'm totally comfortable with that we ought to have this as a requirement. I could go either way.
Well, there's no doubt there's some truth to saying that fences make good neighbors. I feel very, very strongly that the county does not want to get into the business of saying, okay, you're going to put a fence right here, that, unless there's some kind of huge rationale to do it. So,
it could start something down the road 10 years from now that you guys did this once before. Yeah.
And from our department standpoint, I mean, everything should be tied back to the health, safety, and welfare of the county. And again, I understand where Kathy was coming from on wanting that, but at the same time, then you might want to even open the door of, do we need a fence around the pond to make sure no kids get in the pond and stuff like that? I mean, there's various safety concerns that can arise, and this is just one of them. So, yeah. But ultimately, I'll leave that up to the board, and if there is, you know, a condition that you want on there, I would suggest that it just be placed with the issuance of a building permit, maybe on lot 13, that we require that the fence be in place prior to us issuing that zoning permit for that lot. That probably would be a good way for us to at least enforce that. But again, ultimately, it's up to the board what way you want to go.
Okay. Chris, anything else you want to mention to us before we take action here?
Just thank you. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. All right, board. Any other questions? Charlie, what are our options here?
The resolution 1431 should be in front of you, and it's just mainly approve or deny, or if you want to approve with conditions as well. So.
Well, if we approve it with conditions, I mean, at what point do we say that we're not necessarily going to require the 6-foot fence? I mean, I think that's kind of where we're headed.
I guess my only question, I don't see really a problem with the other conditions that you've listed here, the 1 through 5. You've said several of them have already been identified. 5, 6, 7, 8 is a moot point. 5 and 8 has been done.
Everything
is basically done.
Yeah.
At this point, the only question is the outstanding is the fence. And I guess my gut feeling would be is I just would remove that as a condition and hopefully leave it up to the developer and then it's around the and the neighbors pending in that area to work out some type of an agreement in the future.
And those conditions that were placed on there were all intended to be fixed prior to the final plat coming through. So the resolution of the final plat doesn't include any conditions. We left them off completely. And if you want to carry any of those over, then it would be approving with conditions. But if you...
So if we just approve resolution 1431 as it stands, then effectively we're saying forget about condition number 9. You got to have a fence. You go, you're good to go now.
That's what the way I drew the resolution, the intention of it, yes.
So no action needed. I mean... Other than by passing 1431, the developer is then released from any obligation to build a fence. Did I state that correctly? Okay.
Okay. Well, personally, I guess I would move the resolution 1431 without conditions.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Resolution 1431 is passed. Thank you very much. If you have just a minute and wouldn't mind sticking around, I'd love to visit with you after the meeting. Okay. Agency reports, none. Departmental reports, none. Liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Wayne, anything?
Very quickly, yes. I met yesterday with Deb, and I think I've already alluded to, we did talk a little bit about the community life situation and future areas that we need to really be factoring in as we move forward. Also talked about my meeting coming up on the 29th with the governor and questions regarding the need for additional mental health funding how that was going to unfold. And then we just kind of talked a little bit about the proposed change that has taken place at ISAC with Linda Hinton retiring, and hopefully that the person that will fill her position will be someone that has some mental health experience and background, especially as we move into the regionalization and so forth. But Deb was very helpful in sharing with me some of the concerns that the CPCs has as far as the role that Linda Hinton provides as well. So that was pretty much the bulk of what our conversation was. And then last evening, I attended the Conservation Board meeting, and they will be bringing forth a recommendation, consideration to the board that in the Dakins Lake project expansion, there is a change order for phase one and phase two, and it will need approval by the Board of Supervisors. And this change order was discussed, was approved, and the funding would still be part of the funding that is allocated from the TIF dollars. There's not going and part of the contingency. There will not need to be any additional dollar amount, but you'll hear a little bit more about that because they did find that there was a existing tile under the dam that, if left unplugged, would drain the lake. And so that has to be, you know, dealt with. And then there was some reed canary around the waterway area that involves the wetlands. And so trying to involve those invasive plants, they felt that this $9,000 that they will be requesting would be appropriate. So we'll see that at a later meeting.
Yeah, and Wayne, so that you know, I've just asked the Conservation Board via Mike Cox, I've asked that they keep us posted on everything, and that wherever a change order impacts something that under the purview of the Board of Supervisors, that it does in fact come to us.
Right. It's okay. Great. So good. Yep. And then the last item was yesterday afternoon, I had a meeting with the Executive Director of HRDA and our asset liaison, and I told Julia that I thought that the public need to be aware of the challenge that we are having currently right now in Story County. Currently, we have a shortage of drivers that may result in some reduction of services. They're working to hire more drivers. We're down 3 drivers currently at this time, and people with permanent scheduled rides should not be affected. And if there are questions, some of the people who might call for just a trip to go to grocery shopping or something of this nature, they may see either a shortage of available buses or time to actually occur that. And if there are questions or concerns, they should call the 877-686-0029 and talk to either Brooke Ramsey or Julia regarding the concern with drivers. And in my conversations, Syrod is having a similar problem. Boone County is having a similar problem, just finding drivers to meet the demand. And if you recall, a year ago, Story County actually picked up over 5,000 new riders when HRDA took over. So the demand is outseated our ability to supply the necessary services. But I think the public needs to be aware. I shared this with Deb yesterday. She's going to make sure that all the providers in the group that she works with has this notification. So when people do call in concerned about some of the reductions of service, we'll understand why.
Outstanding. Good. Thank you, Wayne. A question for you. 29th, you're meeting with the governor. Are you here on the 22nd? Or are you
going to be here next week as it turns out?
We
got to
make sure that with this urban renewal and TIF conversation that we get through a lot of the conversation next week while you're here, even though decisions may come on the 29th. But we need to get your input all the way through that.
Sounds good.
Okay. Anything? Public forum number 2, comments from the public on items not on today's agenda. Board may not take action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but we may do so in the future. Anybody, Loris? Nope. Announcements from the supervisors. Wayne?
Yep.
Paul?
Yep.
Love a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Adjourned.